prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom. Even St. John the Baptist, he preaches the word of God to Herod and his new wife. The king and his new wife, he says, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So for his preaching the word of God, John the Baptist earns for himself chains and a place in Herod's dungeon. He earns his own execution and his head placed upon a platter. Throughout the world, there are millions of men who will stand before the people of God and preach the true word of God. They will echo Amos and the sound of alarm that sin leads to exile from the presence of God and even unto death. They will echo St. John the Baptist in their preaching and point out sins of lust and infidelity. They will preach the law in all of its wrath and call people to repentance. And in doing so, these men of prophecy, these preachers will be putting their lives on the line. The same thing happens here among us as well. We're even being told that we must be tolerant. We must be politically correct. And even our President of the United States has been quoted to say, we must change the conscience of this Christian faith. As Amos and St. John the Baptist preach the law to those in Israel and in Galilee, so too we will hear the law of God. Amos isn't preaching to King Jeroboam. St. John the Baptist isn't only preaching to Herod and his new wife. Today, by their words, God is telling us that our sin is dangerous. It's even deadly to our souls. Today, God tells us that our sin, left without repentance, will lead us away from God and into eternal death. Today, God tells us that the lust in our hearts and the infidelities in our lives will drive us into exile, separate us from the saints of God, and even cut us off from God himself. And quickly grows the majority in this land who take and set God aside. They put him over here in the background, somewhere out of the way, and they worship self-gratification. They worship that which feels good, that which only lasts for a short time. Some will hear this word of the law and they'll respond with defensiveness and some with anger. There's been quite an outcry going on. Somewhere this very day, a pastor will be driven out of his town for preaching the truth of God's law. Our church, even out west, there is a church right now that has a lawsuit against it for refusing to perform a same-sex marriage. Somewhere, a man of God will be imprisoned for his dedication to the Word of God. Somewhere today, this is the truth. Somewhere this very day, people will die for their faithfulness to God and to His Word. I hope that somewhere isn't here in one of the cities. But people, wherever they are, whether halfway around the world or even here in this church tonight, people don't like to hear the law. That's the truth. People don't want to hear God say, no. Jeroboam didn't like it. Amaziah, the prophet, shall be divided up with a measuring line. You yourself shall die in an unclean land, and Israel shall surely go into exile away from its land. Words like that are dangerous business. Words like those of John the Baptist, they're deadly in their first, for they preach the wrath of God. These words are meant to make us uncomfortable. It's meant to be that way. They're meant to open our eyes and our hearts to the truth that we are sinful and a miserable lot. God's law, preached with such ferocity, is meant not to rouse our anger or raise our defenses, but instead it's meant to bring us to repentance. This preaching is meant to move our hearts to confession of our sin. It's meant to convert our souls to holiness once more. For it is holiness that we have been called. St. Paul says that God has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. That's the way God wants us. Holy and blameless. And that's the way He sees us. Because of Jesus Christ. So instead of getting defensive and harping and ragging on people about the law of God and falling further into sin like Herod and his wife, you need to ask yourself a question. How holy is your life? How blameless is your soul? How perfect are you right now? Here's the cold truth. Each of us present here tonight, we're a lot like Jeroboam, the king, and this traitorous bunch of people in the kingdom of Israel. We're all a lot like the adulterous King Herod and his new wife. You know, his new wife used to be his brother's wife. We're all sinners and we need a Savior. Acknowledging that fact is at the heart of repentance. Hearing the hard truth of God's law, it forces us to come to grips with the fact that we do not keep God's law whole and undefiled. We fall very short. We get angry. We get defensive. We commit adultery. Even murder. Yeah. Maybe not with our own hands and our bodies, but then certainly we do it with our hearts. There's no denying it. There isn't. None of us present here tonight, including myself, we have any defense. We are sinners. When we acknowledge our sin, just like we did at the beginning of our worship service tonight, something amazing happens. God forgives our sins in Christ Jesus. By His grace, for Christ's sake, God declares us forgiven and perfect. By His grace, for Christ's sake, God proclaims our purification and restores us to the holiness which He desires and He demands. He cleanses us from our anger. He removes the defensiveness from our souls. He rights our relationships with our families. He washes the blood off of our hands for the murders that we committed. He says once more what He said once through St. Paul to the Ephesians, that He has in love predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will. which he has blessed us in the beloved. Notice the adoption wording that he uses here. I know about adoption. I've adopted three wonderful children. They're my kids. They are my children. Those are my kids. And that's the way God looks at us now. You are his dear children.